ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्दुतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. And let's sit comfortably. I sit still. I relax the body. I can take a few slow and deep breaths. Try to really closely observe the stillness of the body. Being with the stillness, then I can also feel how the mind is becoming more still. I put aside any ideas of the past, any thoughts of the future. When I put aside the historic self like this, then I observe myself. I abide in myself. Myself was here this moment. Not with any idea from the past, any projection for the future. I don't try to make anything out of myself, put any idea on what I am, try to become something, experience something. Simply abiding in myself as I am. When I put everything aside in this manner, what do I need? Is there anything I need? Anything I depend on? Am I not, at this time, when I put everything aside, full and content with myself as I am? As the historic self, no matter where I get to, there's still somewhere more to go, something more to achieve, something I want to experience, all these things. But when I put that aside, then really nothing is missing. Saragastiti pralare tu machintya shaktim Vishveshwaram vidita vishwamananta murtim Nirmukta bandhanam apara sukhamburashim Shri Vallabham vimalabodhaganam namami. So we reached the 29th verse, that's where we're at now. Page 34. So read it, small portions. Nirasta shesha samsara dosho astuladi lakshanaha adirishyatvadi gunakaha parakrita tamo malaha One who is totally devoid of the changing world, one who is not characterized by gross or subtle, who is devoid of the qualities of being seen, etc., and from whom the taint of ignorance has been removed, is called the universal self. It was written there in parentheses because really the next verse, the two verses are one sentence, and there it's going to say that's the universal self. So as promised last week, when we had the sneak preview that we were moving from the Tvampada Vichara, looking into who is I, to Tatpada Vichara, to the totality. This is where now the text has shifted. And what happens is this, is now that I looked, we took a few months every week taking time to look into what in Tattvamasi, what is being pointed out, who is Tvam, who you are behind this whole mask, this whole body-mind covering. Now when you say, okay, that infinite, that unchanging, that one doesn't seem as distant like it's somewhere in the seventh heaven. It's something that seems a little more tangible. I would believe so if we've been following and doing and looking into this. So it's a little bit easier for me to relate to. That's why if we just come in first, start with tat. There is that. There is some Brahman. That Brahman is infinite. It's behind everything. It'll be harder, not much harder to not make it some conceptual idea. Yeah, there is something like this. Let me think about it. And this is the thing we have to try to avoid, because if I hear the word Brahman and I make a concept out of it, I'll store it in my mind. It'll stay as a concept. Well, right now, what we're going to say, okay, there is this infinite unchanging, and I can relate to it because I already feel, have at least some feeling that I, some inkling of an idea that it's me, some feeling like this, so I could connect to that one. This is one reason why it was very important first to do the Tvampada Vichara. This is one reason. One other thing here in this description that we just read, which we'll go into in more detail, a lot of time when talking about the totality, so we talk about Ishvara, talk about it as God, and we'll say that this is the God is the creator, right? Jagat Karanam, creator of the world. Or we also said the Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. We can make it fancy in Sanskrit, or say the one intelligent and material cause of everything. The whole material is that, creator is that. When we say it like this, again, it seems there's some entity out there, some supernatural entity that one day got up and created the world in 7 days or whatever it is, like this. That keeps it a little more removed. It has its place, and there is discussion with that. And as we had pointed out, and probably further into the text, we will say that is used, but then in order to see the world came from that, and then after it, see that is in the world, and then you totally negate the whole idea that there is a world. There is only that. So that's the issue. That is like step one of a few steps, and it stays at that. So there it starts with it as something remote. But here we're not starting with something remote, which is very nice, because then it's more, I can look into it much more. You know, it's something right here, like right here in the laboratory to look at, not instead of something theoretical somewhere out there. So this is the wonderful thing here. So this is how this is being introduced, okay, the Tatpada Vichara. So here a few different things are being pointed out. So let's see what's said. Nidasta ashesha samsara doshaha. So totally bereft of all of the defects of samsara. And so samsara, in samsara, there are many different defects that we can see. The life of becoming, right? Samyak sarati, moves very well, meaning non-stop movement, like this. Going. Everything's changing every moment, right? I want to hold on to something. But the thing is, whatever you hold on to, time is sweeping it away, right? Like this. Right? Swami Shivananji used to sing, time sweeps away kings and barons. Where is, the name, whatever, kid, whatever. Where is this? Where is that? He would sing like everything, any moment sweeps away. You think you can rely on this, next moment that's swept away, like this. So whatever I want to hold on to, and we want stability. So we find something temporary, but that stability we don't find. So that's the dosha samsara, constantly changing. We want, what is the anchor? So it says this one is not touched by this change, right? That's what I'm looking for. Now, if Brahman is affected by the change, meaning that Brahman is part of the world, because that's what the world is, the change, the substance has to be something other than the, cause has to be something different than the effect. So if we say the absolute cause of the world, it has to be the unchanging, because world is changing, so this is unchanging. If it changed too, that would be part of the world. The world means change. So that's why it can't, if it was affected here, it wouldn't be that. And it would, then you'd say, okay, well, what's behind that? There has to be something else, right? And Brahman, one thing we can say that it would mean spaceless. The moment you have space, you have objects, you have everything, it gives the birth to everything else, right? From the space, then it'll condense to air, condense to fire, etc., and then you have everything going on like this. But spacelessness, then beyond the space, right? So how can something be like this? So this is what it says. This is what it would be, because otherwise it would be part of the changing. Okay. Now some other doshas of samsara will say, some other issues we have, because of the constant change, there is a certain sense of that dissatisfaction. We can never fully be satisfied. Never find it. We find, but how much do we find, right? If I'm really happy from something, it lasts for a little while, and then it slowly, that goes away. I need something else to get excited about, like this, something new. Like, again, just observing, people, they will have a gratitude log, which has something nice in it. But if I'm grateful for something now, a few days later, now that becomes something old. I need something new to be excited, grateful for, like this. Like this. It's a positive thing, but we're looking beyond the positive and negative. What is absolutely stable there? Like this, okay? So in this way. So there's a sense of dissatisfaction, which we have, which never, no thing manages to fill this void. That's why we come to this. People have that. They search for different things. Search for it in profession, search for it in relationship, search for it in religion, search in many ways like this. Religion has a very nice solution for it. After you die, you'll go to the heaven, you'll be very happy with all your family, with the gods, and you'll be totally satisfied. So then, you know, you're there for your life, because only after you leave you'll be there like this. But the thing is, if it's still postponing like this, but what about here and now, right? Here and now is, I want to be satisfied now. You can only be satisfied now. I say I'll be satisfied later, meaning that that tomorrow never comes. This is what happens. People say, yes, okay, my older brother's already in college, when I'll be in college, then I will, that's the real deal I can see. When I get a job, oh yes, then. When I get married, when I have a family, right? When I get the promotion, when I retire, where does it end? Then I'll be there. It's like trying to chase the horizon. Doesn't work like this. So this is what happens. This is what we call shoka. Shoka, this is the suffering? This dissatisfaction in life. No situation can do it. If a situation seems to do it, that's also temporary, like this. That is all, any situation, because situation means temporary. The mind fluctuates, now it's in this situation. This situation really does it. Same situation after a few days, now the mind is tired of it, wants something a little different. So this is what happens. So this thing of shoka is an issue. Now what happens when we say the totality? Let's take now as Ishvara, the God behind everything, the Brahman reflecting totality. The difference there is, there it's totality. So this becoming something else, it's always the total. There's nothing else to strive for. Nothing else. What is there to be dissatisfied? What else is there to get? And if Ishvara, if the God, we'd say, is also having some of these issues, like some, they make stories that the God fights the demons or not happy with these people because they're doing this or that, then those are stories. Because absolutely Ishvara can't, then it wouldn't be Ishvara, wouldn't be the absolute. Like Ishvara, Brahman, very small difference, we'd say. One is when you see through Maya, one is without seeing through Maya, but it's the same. In the end, it'll be the same, right? Saguna, Nirguna, it's the same thing, right? You behind this body-mind, and you drop the idea of body-mind, it's still you. So same Ishvara behind the totality, without totality, same. Same universal consciousness like this. So that's how the Ishvara can't be like samsara, can't be wanting something, expecting something, because if there was that, then also it'd be missing, wouldn't be totality, would feel limited in some way. Okay, so that's why it couldn't be there, and Brahman, the absolute, it can't be there. If we say that's not, this blemish can't be there. So there's also shoka and there's moha. Moha is delusion. Delusion, I don't see things clearly. I don't see, Like we looked into myself, I have some inkling, but I don't clearly know what I am behind this, right? So if the Ishvara is like this, then there's also a problem. There's no way out of samsara because nobody knows what's beyond it, right? And we say the Maya is dependent on Brahman. Maya is dependent on Brahman, or Maya is Ishvara's power of creation, wields it. So in this way, we say no, that this dosha can't be. The blemish couldn't be there. That's just within, when we look from the limited perspective. So the samsara dosha is not there like this, okay? So this is one point, telling who this Ishvara is. What is Ishvara, or what is the Brahman, the totality? And then it says, astuladi lakshanaha, not gross, etc. Not having any of these, any lakshanas, any qualities here, it would be, nature of qualities, same, but usually lakshana is a descriptor, but here it'll be a quality like this. Nothing like this of gross or subtle, large or small. Anything that you can qualify, that doesn't qualify it. Because if we were to qualify again, that would be limited. Like you'd say, okay, how fancy is gold? Well, you go to the jewelry shop. How fancy is gold? As fancy as you want it to be. As simple as you want it to be. No, that's a necklace. But the gold itself says, you see there's another shop down there? They know. Go there. They really know. I don't know. You go there. They're better jewelers than me. Like this. So the gold, you can't say how big is gold, how small, how fancy are this. How old is the statue, you can say. But the gold was, it's just there. It's been there for ages. We don't know. It's always been there. So in this way, any quality you give is going to be quality of the effect, not of the substance like this. Because if it belonged to the substance, then the substance would be tangible, right? Namarupa. Because what is that? Namarupa. So really, if I want to see the Brahman, I just need to sweep aside namarupa. Vedanta is, we sweep aside namarupa, put it aside, the non-essential put aside. Then it's there. But of course, we're so caught up in it that we hold on to it. And then we hold on, we don't want to let go of it. Yes, there is that Brahman, the God behind everything. But I love this form, and I love experiencing this. I love tasting this. Right? And never ends like this. So what happens is we have to learn to put these aside to see what's beyond them. Again, just like the statue or the necklace where it's made out of gold, to see beyond those, to see the gold, the substance, not the name and form. Because really, what is it? The substance is the gold. When you weigh it, right? You weigh it, it weighs 300 grams. Now, does that weight belong to the gold, or does it belong to the jewelry? Which one does it belong to? Right? If it belonged to the jewelry, now I melt it down, make something else, why is it the same weight? Right. That's just a name, just a form. We saw a certain form, we gave it a name. But substantially, really, it's the gold. So the weight belongs to the gold itself. The substance is the gold. But we're caught up in the name and form of everything, how it comes. So have to learn to see beyond these. Because the moment I'm caught up in the name and form, I think maybe last class we did bring up this verse, then the verse, last class, dhyayato vishayam pumsa sangasteshu pajayate, from Gita, that yes, now I like this form, I'm attached to it, now it's changing, it's going to be a problem. Another form comes, oh, that's very nice, now I get attached to that form, this form I don't like anymore. So, name and form, it's very hard not to. If I start putting priority into it, then it brings raga dvesha, and then I get caught up, then the whole samsara dosha is starting, like this. So any quality that I see, first of all, any quality I see has an opposite. The whole world, if I say all, everything, it's opposites, right? Large meaning there's small, dark meaning there's light. You know, I say something is beautiful means something is ugly. Something I like, something I don't like. It's like this. It goes on and on and on like this. So those, the moment there's one, there's the other. And there has to be the substance behind them. So in this way, anything like this, any quality you see that's not going to be the Brahman, again, that's tangible, that makes it an object as well. Right? The moment it's an object, then, yes, it's tangible in some way or the other. Tangible meaning, it's object, I'm subject now. It's now it can't be unchanging, infinite, because in order to experience, it means it has to have some change for me to experience. No change how you can experience it. It's not possible like this. So this is that any of these qualities, it's not, that's not where you're going to find it. Okay, so the moment you give a quality, that's not going to be it. Okay, so name and form. Now what happens is, yes, maybe at first I can be working on certain things that I have a stronger attachment to, stronger idea about. I work on putting those aside. That I can understand. Maybe I'm in politics, or maybe in some social thing, or maybe in some things I have a stronger ideas, then those I learn to put aside. Like one example is one of the Mahatmas said that one time somebody coming to class for some time, he talked to him, and then he found out this person collects stamps, right? Has like a big collection, whatever. And then he said, what can I do? What should I do in order to progress? He said, stop collecting stamps. Because if something I have a strong idea about, hobby and everything, I'm very much invested in them, invest in some Namarupa. That's a wonderful hobby. This one I'm not so sure. So that we can do. But really speaking, it's not that we can one by one be removing. Eventually just have to look beyond them all. Drop the whole thing. Now what happens is people have the idea that the God will come to them. I will do this worship and then the Ishvara is going to come and appear. But here the Ishvara, they do avahanam, right? Avahanam, it's the prayer they invite. Whenever a puja is done, then the priest comes, the priest goes and does something to bring the deity. Puts some turmeric powder there, puts something there. When South Indian priests used to be in the yoga form, so when Swamiji, so he came, he would put the oil lamp, and the lamp is in the way they do puja and this, that's where the deity is. They invite to there. So the Brahman won't come to you. If the Brahman comes to you, then after he comes and you have a nice conversation, Brahman will go, right? Brahman came for some time and got a little tired because, you know, had a lot of work to do and many other people to visit, Brahman had to go to the next place like this. So that can't be, right? So it's not the removing names and forms that Brahman will come. It's already there. Right? The presence is there. The sat is there. It's just that we're caught up in name and form. So drop the name and form, that's where it is. Right? Drop the name and form. Where are you? Where is everything else? Right? So that's why you can't find the Brahman separate from you. If I want to find the Brahman separate from me, then again, I want to find the object. And I want to find the Brahman in a certain place. I came to the ashram here, I'll find Brahman here. Brahman isn't in Fremont, but Brahman is in the Dayananda ashram in Pennsylvania. Definitely. It's not like this. Or at a certain time. This is the holy time, and now. Like a few years ago when we started our Sunday Gita class. I didn't say this in the first class because some people coming in knew, but it came to my mind. But I didn't want to scare people the first time. When they're just coming first time to class. So one fellow, he joined, and he was in Uttarkashi. From Uttarkashi, he traveled there, and he joined the class from there a few times. So when asked everybody just to say a few words, he said, oh, I'm in Uttarkashi, very holy place here, and it's this specific holy day, so it's very good on this day. I don't remember what Hindu holy days. I know just a few holidays, a lot of different holy days I don't know. So on this holy day, near Ganga, holy place, and now I'm starting the Gita. So that came to my mind to say, well, now that we've come to Vedanta, there is no holy time or holy place. Right? that I didn't say then, because if it stayed a little longer for class, I would have maybe brought up. But, you know, like in our class here, no problem, because we've been looking to this for a bit. So if somebody's scared away from that now, what can we do? So in this way, the Brahman won't come. The Brahman is what's there. It's just the name and form. I look beyond it, and that's what it is. So this is where, why, have to see beyond the different attributes of things. It's kind of like the table's in front of me, so it's really wood. I call it table, but I see it's wood. That's it, just in some form. I'm really seeing the wood. It's the wood. I just gave it some other name like this. Then, those are the qualities. Now, how will I get to it? How will I experience? What is going to point it out, right? Like, you want colors? Yes, you need eyes. The blind person cannot experience that. You want, you know, there's one lady lives nearby. She's a very good singer. Whenever I'm here, sometimes she sings. Oh, beautiful. If I was deaf, I wouldn't be able to hear. There'd be no way for me to hear it like this. So now what is a pramanam? What is the means of knowledge for it? Because seeing is the means of knowledge for colors and forms, like this. Ears for sounds. So it says here, adrishyatvadi gunakaha. It's not something that can fall under those attributes, cannot come under something that is seen, right? Not under something that is heard, not touch, not taste, not smell, right? People sometimes have spiritual experiences. Oh, some wonderful smell came, right? Oh, they meditated the deity, they felt they were there, some wonderful heavenly smell. Or they feel they're meditating, Sri Krishna's peacock feather must have brushed against them. So very nice. Then nobody's saying these experiences don't have some value, but that's, again, we can't say that was indicated as Brahman, because everything is indicated of Brahman. Which wave doesn't indicate the water? Isn't the water. So at first it's nice because it gives us some Shraddha. There is something beyond. There is something beyond these names and forms, but that's something eventually we have to start going beyond, because again, we'll keep looking for special indicators all the time instead of what's constantly there like this. So the senses aren't the pramanam for it. Pramanam is the valid means of knowledge. Each field would be a means of knowledge like this. Like for instance, when astrophysicists are calculating now about planets that are exoplanets that are, you know, light, so many light years away, and that they are in the Goldilocks zone, they're doing it in calculations those will be ones that will be most probably in a zone that can have similar conditions to our planet here. That's the idea. So they can do it by certain calculation. How they do, they found some pramanam, some way to get that knowledge. So that's valid for that. Just seeing, you know, there'll be some seeing too, or some calculation. So that's valid means of knowledge for that. It works for that, right, in this way. And so then I can also use my mind, my inference. I can infer, you know, something. So you infer something, not because you see it directly, but because of previous experience, you know. Like where I grew up, in the town where I grew up, the local soccer team at the time was the champions in the country, the smallest city in the south and everything. Wow, they were very big. I just happened to see YouTube, they're champions again after so many years. But in any case, so then we'd live a kilometer or two away from the stadium. Saturday, every other Saturday is a local game. When the game ends, around when the game's supposed to end, you know if they won because you hear from so far away, you can hear the cheering. So you know they won. You don't. That's inference. I heard. I didn't see the score. I didn't see the game, but I know they won. Like this. So I can't infer the Brahman as well. Because if I were to infer something that you can infer again, means that you need some experience in the past to get to it. Right? You know, you've seen the fire many times, so you know the smoke smoke and fire many times so you can infer it. Here it's something you can't really infer, because what reference do you have to infer the absolute reality? There isn't some way to do it like this. So that's why none of these do it. And actually, a very interesting thing. We say, okay, we have Shabda Pramanam. Shabda, the word of the scripture. This one helps to do it. Yes, this one is pointing in that direction, right? Okay, this is pointing. Now we say, okay, but Shabda Pramanam, and you hear from Guru. So Guru says Tattvamasi, you say Am Brahmasmi. So the Guru helps with the Pramanam. Okay, Guru also helps. But the thing is, it's kind of like you go to somebody who's a specialist, makes a very fancy mirror for you to see things very clearly, puts it in front of you. So they made the mirror, they show you the mirror, but who is going to see and verify that you could, you know, that you can see a reflection in the mirror? You're the one who sees in the mirror, right? So in the end pramanam is myself. That's the pramanam. The others help to point in that direction, but if Shastra, if the word of Shastra shows you, illumines the consciousness for you, meaning that it needed something to illuminate, meaning it's not self-luminous, right? So that's why the Shastra can point to it, like, but it ends up like a mirror. You yourself are the pramana. Nobody else is. Nobody else can show to you. You have to see it. That's why Shravanam helps to point in that direction like a mirror, but then I have to look at it. I have to do mananam. I have to do. Nobody else can look into it like that. And of course, although we're talking about the Brahman, we can never escape some of the time bringing it back like this you, because as we'll see, they're not separate and you can't really separate like this. But in any case, so none of these other pramanams, no other pramanam can do like this, because it's not something you'd infer. There's nothing else to infer similar to that. There's some similarity, like we give gold and, you know, the gold and the ornament. We give the room space and the total space. We give some things like this that help to point to that, but those don't show it. They're examples to help us to have some understanding of it so that I can see for myself, but nothing can just show it in that way. It's not possible. Okay, so that's why no other means of knowledge does it. We say with the means of knowledge, in general, so you can say that there's pratyaksha, direct, we're through the senses, right? I see, I hear, like we said like this. That's one pratyaksha pramanam. Through the senses, I can tell things. The other is paroksha, where it's not through the senses. So it's too far away for the senses, in too far away meaning it's not within the range of the senses. Because it can be a dog whistle, right? The noise is right here. The dog is barking, right? So it's just beyond the range of the senses. But I can do something in order to know that it exists without... have some means that help for me to understand that it's there. Right? Like nobody saw the exoplanets, but they know they're there. They use some paroksha jnana like this. But the thing is, the Brahman or Atma there won't be found through either of these, just through aparoksha, not through senses, not through mind, immediate. Because that's immediate because you're not using any medium. What medium do you need to know that you're there? I'm here. Do you exist? You'll say, I'm not sure, right? Are you not? How can you not be sure? Maybe what you are, you know, where you came. Some of these things maybe aren't clear, okay. But that I exist, you don't have any question, right? You don't have to say, one minute, let me call my guru and ask my guru, do I exist? Guru, do I exist? You don't need somebody to tell you you exist. I know I am, right? And then you experience things around. There's some things. There's presence. Something. There is. Do you need anybody to say, yes, there's something. I see world. There's something. What exactly it is, I don't know for sure, but there is. There is existence. I feel presence around me. Yes. Do you need any You don't need anything to point that out to you. You know it. You know that. So that's where the direct knowledge. Everything else is indirect knowledge. That's why we can't know anything else completely, because everything else we're using some instrument, like mind senses, to know them, and an instrument will always be limited. We're trying, and the world itself, infinite, if you go to the size-wise, to galaxies, etc. Just saying, Milky Way galaxy has how many billion of stars? Was it, I don't know, a few billion. Last I heard the number, I don't know exactly. We can't fathom it. The size we can't fathom, right? So when you go to astronomical, we can't fathom. You go to subatomic, also we can't fathom. So both we can't fathom, we can't fully know, because senses, not, we can't know anything fully here. It's limited, it's changing, and we have some faulty equipment to measure it. Like science is making better and better equipment to measure both subatomic and universal things. It'll always be made better and better and see more and clearer, but it can never get the full picture. It's not possible like this. The only thing I can know fully, 100% completely is Atma or Brahman, because that is full, complete. And that's the only thing we'll know completely, because I can only know it directly, not through any means. That's immediate. So, of course, the issue is I take myself as something limited. I take the word, what everything else is, as stuff, right, as name and form. And so then I don't see beyond these. That's why this whole inquiry, to look closely into it, so I can, you know, can see a little clearer, so that I can see for myself like this, and see for myself directly. The shastra, the scripture will nudge in the direction, but then I can only look, and only look directly. No, indirect won't work, right? Indirect, then it's going to get filtered, and then I can't fully know anyway, like this. So very interesting thing. I can never fully know anything in the world like this. Not possible. And anyway, can you know anything fully from your dream? Can you? Nothing you can know fully from your dream. Very similar. If you keep going, you'll never find what's more. No matter what it is, any person, any subject, any item, you can never know completely. Impossible. Like this. So at least science and fashion and inventions will go on forever, because never ending story. I don't know where they got the idea for that name of this book and movie for kids, but I wouldn't be surprised if some Eastern, say from some Eastern philosophy, the idea crept in. But in any case, so that's why it's aparoksha jnanam, only direct. So also Brahman, I can only know direct as myself. Like this, but we're looking into what is this universal, universal spaceless, the universal existence, Paramatma. Then it says also about it, parakritatamo malaha, totally, all the, no ignorance whatsoever in it, fully bereft of ignorance, of tamas, of darkness. When we say tamaha, one thing you could take it also is the three gunas. That's one thing you can take it as. Tamas, you have sattva, rajas going as well. So if you have, from that perspective, you say the substratum isn't touched by the gunas. Because just like you watch the movie, and the movie is not, the screen is not affected by anything going on in the movie, right? Whatever happens, you know, you get moved, but the screen doesn't get moved. Like this. Otherwise, they'd have to keep changing this. Every few movies, they have to change the screen because it got affected. Like this. It stays the same. So the substratum does not get affected by all this change. The gunas are in Maya, not in Brahma. Like this. So this is one thing. We say the adhishtanam, the substratum, will not get changed by that. But here, more the tamo malaha will mean here, it'll be more meaning the ignorance, not touched by ignorance. Because the thing is, I as an individual, I feel limited. What is that limitation based on? It's based on ignorance, that I don't know better. Because the thing is, I say, what is separating me from everything else? Oh, because my body goes up to here, right? Up to here. So then I say, well, I'm not just the body, I'm beyond the body, and the body's changing, and material goes in and goes out, it's part of the world, okay, but still my mind, somehow I'm separate. Yeah, you're separate. So what is separating you? Something is. Yeah, somehow I feel that. You feel that. Well, you feel things. Feeling is just some subjective thing. It's not an objective thing. Like a scientist will say, I feel that this theory is correct. Why don't the other scientists believe me? Right? It won't work. So I feel separate. Okay, you feel, but what does that mean? Okay, just look at it objectively. What separates? And if you keep looking and looking into it, you'll say, I don't know what separates me, if you really keep looking into it. My ideas, but those are just thoughts, so that can't separate. It can be some primordial thing from before, my karma, but it's just an idea, so I don't really know for sure. So meaning it'll come down to, I don't know what's separating. Meaning, then you'll say, really, I looked into it so long, I don't know what's causing the separation. Then we'll say, correct, because what it is ignorance. You don't know. That's what's separating. So I have that mala, and says here, that's the mala. The ignorance is the mala, the impurity. Vedanta, we say, like Christianity, they say original sin. That's what we say. And Vedanta says that's the only sin, really, because that's how you're limited. Without that, the other papa, other so-called sins don't touch Atma. They can't touch Atma. This doesn't touch Atma either. But this causes all the other trouble. Right? You have different issues in the dream. The only way to solve all those issues is to wake up. Once you wake up, no problem. No other way to solve all those problems. So we say same thing here. This tamas, like this. So it's be free from that. Because the ignorance, again, because the sense of limitation. We take from the totality perspective, we take again as Ishvara. Ishvara won't feel a sense of limitation. Right? It's not like some Purana. One Purana, like Shiva Purana, they're going to have stories to show that Lord Shiva is excelling beyond the other gods. The other ones are, Lord Brahmaji and Lord Vishnu, this are low, or at some lower level. So there's some competition, right? Not this type of thing. That's, again, as we said, that's stories. Maybe have some good illustrations, but it goes as far as that. Because here then is, we'll say, well, the totality, the Ishvara cannot have this tamas. The whole thing knows the whole, that's why I say sarvajna, all-knowing, because everything is part of Ishvara. It's like, that's why the drawing of Padmanabha Swami, of Lord Vishnu lying down, dreaming, everything comes out of him, right? Comes out of him, goes back into him, part of, not separate. So whole thing, whole dream world is yours, you know the whole thing, everything he knows, you can say like this. And also what happens is, when we discuss in Tattva Bodha, there when it talks about the Karana Sharira, when it talks about this, it says, there's a very interesting thing. When you go to sleep, and you have your deep sleep, on the one hand, it's Ananda. That's what we say, Ananda Maya Kosha. Full bliss, so wonderful, right? On the other hand, we say that it's pure avidya, there's ignorance, and that's tamas. So the ananda is sattva, joy is sattva. And the ignorance, though, is tamas. So it says what happens there, it's made out of malina sattva. Here also use mala. Malina sattva, meaning it's sullied sattva. Yes, it's very close to Atma, as it were. So it, like light of Atma is so close, so that's why bliss is there. But it's sullied, so I feel some sense of separation, of limitation. That's the source of it. And that source is ignorance. It's tamas. So the source of the individual is ignorance. So I have ignorance, so it makes me feel that I'm something limited. Now the Ishvara will not feel that he, her, it is something limited, because if Ishvara did, then Ishvara would also be samsari. Right? Has to be. So there's full clarity. There has to be full clarity like this. That's why the fully bereft of all this tamas, of all the ignorance in this way. So for us, we have the karana sharira, causal body. From Ishvara's perspective, is maya shakti, but maya shakti, it doesn't have that effect. Ishvara has the control over maya shakti like this. Okay, and that's again what brings about the creation. Now, one Mahatma said about this, very, very interesting, said that what happens is that we have the avarana shakti, the maya shakti, as those two different parts, avarana and the projecting power. It didn't come to my mind right now. The avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti. So the covering that we don't see clearly, and projecting. We have both of those. He says Ishvara has the projecting power, right? Has vikshepa shakti, because world is created, but no avarana shakti, no covering, making it unclear. Like the actor on the stage, for them, nothing's really happening. They're doing a lot of drama, but it's only drama. For us, it's a big thing. We're caught up in the drama. One time, my parents told me about this years back. Some play they saw, and there somebody played some Nazi general and was very convincing in everything. And they talked to the person afterwards. Said, how did it feel to play this part and everything? So he said, I didn't feel anything, I was just acting. So for that one, they know it's a play. For us, oh, we got all caught up. So something like this we could say, okay? Now what happens also is the space accommodates everything, right? Anything that comes, the space will accommodate. Let it come, let it go. Space remains the same. Now, akasha means, you know, one that I think from etymology of akasha twat, something like this, means that it accommodates anything comes. It accommodates no problem like this, right? So this way also, anything that comes within the, anything appears within, appears. Anything that goes, goes. It does not affect in any way like this, okay? So in this way. So this is the beginning of pointing out what is this tatpada pointing to? Because you said twampada, I the individual. Now what is tat? Because when I look at myself, I look the being. Now I'm looking outside at the being outside like this. And being is being. This is the interesting thing. If I really look into it, being here, just being, then slowly I'll drop my idea namarupa, myself, and then where will I end? I'll end dropping all these limited notions, right? Now when I look out, I look, okay, external being, external presence. Also, if I keep looking, same thing, we'll get to the same thing. This is what's being pointed out, that you can't, you will find the same. That's the whole thing that the Mahavakya is going to help to point out like this, okay, in this way. Let's see any other interesting points here. So there is one other interesting thing here, is that when we're looking at these attributes, or not really attributes, pointers, majority of them are going to be the negation. If you remember last time, it was pointed out that two ways that Tatpadal we pointed out, one is by negation, and one is going to be by pointing out Lakshana, pointing out pointers, or what is the Swarupa, the nature. But majority will be negation, and that's the more important part. Just as the example we gave, that you remove Namarupa, you're not bringing the Brahman. It's the presence, it's always there. So you're not going to bring it. It's there. You just remove the covering if you want. Avarana means covering. The covering you don't see, I'm not seeing clearly. So here also, for instance, here it said it does not have all the different blemishes of samsara. So it's not saying Brahman is the absolute stillness. No, it's not saying stillness is opposite is movement. Right? So it's not pointing out in this way. It's saying it's not anything, all this life of becoming, changing, nothing to do with that. It does not bear off by this. Look, you've changing and you've things moving and not moving. When you drop attributes moving and unmoving, there's nothing to say. There isn't something to say about, you know, about moving, not moving. It's just nothing to do with it like this. So in this. And here also said, any attributes? No. The attributes don't belong to it. Those belong to name and form. Any pramanam to find? No pramanam. So you're the pramanam, meaning you yourself. Not you, your senses, not you, your mind, right? You yourself, eventually the pramanam for yourself, self-evident. That's why the Atma is said, Swayam Prakasha, self-luminous, right? Sakshi is self-luminous. It doesn't need something else to illuminate. If it needed, then you can have some pramanam, something in order to shed light on it. Right? So Shabda Pramanam sheds light on it as though, but it's really just helping to point you in the direction. You're the one who sees it. And then also here, this, any ignorance, no ignorance whatsoever. They're pure knowingness. Not, and again, not ignorance in the sense of ignorance of some subject. Right? I don't know any Sanskrit. I learn a little now. I know a little Sanskrit, right? Anything like this, some subject you don't know, something I don't know about this place or this person I learn about, now I know some. That's different. Here it's about the underlying knowingness, the sat-chit, like this. So the self-ignorance, which is a little bit different, that's why it takes a little bit more for dispelling, because it doesn't work exactly in the same way, right? In this way. So that's a few small pointers Lakshana's given. And the second part of that sentence we'll look into next week, as it's in the next verse. So let's finish here for today. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Very good. So same time next week for the next two classes, and then afterwards I'll be back in our usual time zone. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you next time.